Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Hello, darling. How is our raised from the dead artist friend doing by now?
Still reluctant, madam. Extremely reluctant.
I free the man from the prison of his grave and bless him with the opportunity to paint a portrait of our distinguished guest. And this is how he behaves?
Alternatively, an innocent artist was yanked from his peaceful grave by a mad witch and a troop of ghouls, then forced to paint a portrait of an actual devil in a haunted old library filled with demons and monsters.
Ah, I'll just see if he'd like a nice glass of wine.
Not the house wine, madam.
It's store-bought.
Smart witch.
Good evening, everyone. How wonderful to see you. Yes, please watch your step as you file into the reading room. Yes, that's paint in paw and little hoof prints on the floor there. Oh, do be careful not to track more of it in, please. Oh, it's highly flammable and extremely toxic.
By one moment,
I beg your pardon? I what? I have it on my face. Oh, do I? Oh, I'll be fine. Welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guests. I am your painted-up presenter, Miranda Merrick. First and foremost, please let me apologize for the messiness of the entrance hall, the corridor carpets, and the hardwood flooring here in the reading room. I am heartfully sorry. We are smack dab in the middle of entertaining a special guest who is staying in our red room for a few days. And we've invited a rather aged but talented artist in to create a unique portrait of our distinguished guest. Anyway, there's been a spill or two of the artist's paints here and there, and the wolf pups and a pet goat, I believe, got into the spills and tracked it through the house. Oh, I'm compelled to warn you seriously about the paint, because the aged artist, who seems just a little unsettled, I guess, because of the environment of the library. It's a bit of a shock for him, or something. And he's uncertain of the ingredients we've provided for the mixing of the fresh paints. There's no boom-slaying snake venom or demon wee in it, for sure. I can tell you that. That would be silly and wrong. So, excuse me. For Cersei's sake, please, don't get any of the paint on you. That wouldn't be good. I almost forgot. Our Natasha has baked up the most delightful little cookies for you this evening. They are large and buttery, and in the shape of cute little devil heads, and sweetened with thick ruby red icing. We have all kinds of fun and distinctive cookie cutters, you see, and she chose these in honor of tonight's subject, the devil in art. Here's the hospitality tray being wheeled in by our Natasha. Ah, so lovely. Oh, I see. The cookies are hot out of the oven and being served on ice. I see. Please use the insulated tongs when you pick them up.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hmm?
Blah, 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 blah.
No, I don't know why the icing hasn't melted. You know, dear guests, our reading on witches in art was so popular with many of you. You apparently talked about it in the village. So we thank you for the publicity. And we even received a request for more on the subject. But not wanting to beat a dead horse, which would be preferable to beating a live one, we've decided to honor the burning desire request and to switch up the subject matter to the devil in art for no specific reason other than he makes for a most interesting and captivating topic. Well, that and the fact that we've all seen more than enough boring artworks featuring pious pussed saints and fat bulbous cherubs sitting on fluffy white clouds and playing ridiculous harps and shoving their pie holes full of grapes, or what have you. Let's get into our red-hot topic, shall we? I have for your interest and delight this evening three famous depictions of Satan, or any of the other names you may happen to know him by. The Prince of Darkness, the Devil, Beelzebub, Diablo, Honey Pie, and or Lucifer, as he is portrayed in three famous works of art, which are all classical works, and all from the past centuries. You may like to look them up as I introduce their titles to you. Each representation of the previously heavenly being is expressly different from the others, and each is a treat for the human eye, perhaps in more ways than one. Speaking of which, the first painting I have for you was a bit much for the eyes of the beholders and critics when it was first revealed in the year 1846. The stark work is Alexander Cabanel's Fallen Angel, and it features Beelzebub in the buff, devoid of a single stitch of clothing. I know, right? Cabanel painted this version of Satan after being rabidly criticized for his earlier works, in which he was said to have delivered an oversized and inept composition of Orestes, the son of Agamemnon, and a completely dispassionate, bored-looking Jesus he had painted, shown on trial before his accuser, Pontius Pilate. Having heard his critics from the prestigious Paris Salon, the premier exhibition from the finest French art academies all across France, Cabanel, in his early 20s at the time, then handed in this painting, The Fallen Angel. Our records hint that this painting may have been one of the first French classical portrayals of Satan. And apparently, no one expected him to show up naked. Like so many artists of this time period, Cabanel was influenced by the epic poem about Satan, Milton's Paradise Lost, which vividly describes the opposing angel being cruelly ejected from heaven. In the painting, the first thing you can easily see, now, is that the painting is beautiful. There is nothing vulgar, obscene, or indecent in any square inch of it, in any way. The splendidly masculine and magnificent angel is presented seated in a reclining manner upon the stony ground, with his winged back resting against a crop of low boulders. His physique is strong, svelte, and taut. His bright appearance is spread gracefully before you in the foreground, with his pronounced right wing in the upper left of the canvas, and his recumbent, outstretched body finishing with his divine feet toward the lower right. The sublime angel is shown at the very moment he was cast down from heaven and landed alone upon the hard, uncaring earth. His tousled brunette hair and his hands clasp firmly in anguish, and his face mostly hidden in the crook of his right arm. The striking painting is still fueled by unmistakable raw emotion, all contained in the staring, glaring, tearful eye of the Adonis-like face of Lucifer. Within the prominence of the subject's fierce right eye, Cabanel has clearly captured a multitude of emotions that any human eye can readily recognize. Pain, rejection, scorn, anger, bitterness, indignation, and to my eye, well, I see also resolution and revenge. The angel turning devil's harsh expulsion is further emphasized and exaggerated by the inclusion of a troop of graceful airy angels, flying effortlessly high above him in the translucent cloud-strewn blue sky, with their obvious heavenly status most assuredly still intact. I would think that his dejected posture might inspire some to race to his side to assist or comfort him. But when critics first saw the painting way back in 1846, they denounced the work, saying the movement is wrong, the draftsmanship is imprecise, and the execution is deficient. It was also labeled as too romanticist in style, whatever that means. The artist, Alexander Cabanel, thankfully persisted anyway, moving higher and higher amongst the favored classical artists of his time. He even taught at one of the most prestigious art schools for the rest of his life, and had many, many fabulous works of art and portraiture displayed and sold, including his eventually most famous, The Fallen Angel. Oh, and before I forget, tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is warmly brought to you by Grimm's Grocers. Lovelies, if your food has become lackluster, Grimm's has a line of taste bud busters. If your bland chow doesn't hit the spot, Grimm's understands that some like it hot. Look for the stock boy, Devilish Kyle. He'll show you to the infernal aisle. Wear fireproof gloves and shield your eyes. Just touching the bottles makes fingers fry. Hellion's Hell Broth is just one. A sip is like you've bit the sun. Try Pazuzu's Perspiration for total mouth incineration. And Chernabog's Bath Water, just a dash, turns human tongues to smoky ash. Yes, Grimm's has all the truly hot sauces you desire to literally set your teeth on fire. Grimm's also offers replacement tongues. Some are forked. Grimm's is not responsible for customers who begin speaking in tongues, biting loved ones, or the production of drool with unstoppable dissolving properties. Grimm's Grocers, at the corner of Vincent and Price. Our next demonic depiction in art is one, my dear guest, that once you've seen, you are unlikely to ever forget. I believe the diabolic diorama will be emblazoned upon your brain forever. Because in this painting by Renaissance painter and sculptor Michael Pacher, Satan is shown as a key character amongst many others in what is known as St. Wolfgang's altarpiece. A large, impressive, artistic, masterful creation of a three-dimensional, highly detailed, wood-carved church altarpiece. Surrounded by illustrious paintings of scenes from Mary's life. But the most famous of the panel paintings features two characters, Saint Augustine and Satan. Make that three characters, Saint Augustine, Satan, and the second face of Satan, protruding from his bottom. In fact, his posterior presence seems to be popping right out at you. In the notorious scene, Saint Augustine and the devil seem to have met by accident on a common Renaissance-era street. Saint Augustine, on the left-hand side of the piece, is being permitted by Satan to peek inside a large and obviously sacred book. The sizable book, held firmly in the devil's clawed hands, is bound in a brilliant red binding, with its cloth and metal clasps dangling from it. The saint, dressed in full-on regal holy robes and wearing a mitre hat with huge jewels upon it, bears an expression that's solemn and earnest. He carries a tall scrollwork staff in his left hand and appears to be either blessing or warding off the devil somehow with his right. Satan, with big book in hand, is as tall or taller than the saint, completely unclothed and bright green in color. His face is one like a grotesque gargoyle with curved and jutting fangs coming out of his wide red mouth. He has fiery red eyes and an upturned pointy nose. He looks to have tufts of burning hair sprouting out from his round ears and sports a pair of long prong horns that point straight upward from the top of his head and disappear near the top of the painting, and a graceful pair of almost sea monster fin-like green wings that are attached to his bony shoulder blades. The shockingly verdant devil on the right stands facing slightly away from us on lengthy spindly legs with exquisite black split hooves. This dynamic pose points his demonic derriere a bit more towards you, the fortunate viewer. His bottom face appears to be only a slightly alternative version of the devil's own real face. The eyes of the rump face are embedded in the seat muscles, with the same tusk-like fangs and red-lipped mouth, only smaller. And instead of an upturned nose, on the ornery-looking rear face, the nose is a rather flipped-up furry tail. Green, of course. I've seen worse. A bit of lore lending itself to the story of the weird artwork is that the devil bragged that his book contained all of the damning sins of the townspeople to the saint, who said he didn't believe his own name would be found in the book, and he requested that the devil prove that he was included. The devil then thrust the book open to reveal to St. Augustine that his name most certainly was in the book, with a note of a divine prayer beside it that he had left out of his devotions. The saint then dashed off, lit some candles, completed the prayer, and saved himself. And the poor devil was eternally frustrated that he had been tricked into showing the saint his precious book of condemnation. So much for forgiveness, I guess. The complete set of deep carvings and minutely painted surrounding artworks of at least 23 paintings were finished in the year 1481. And all have miraculously survived in nearly their original pristine condition, and are beautifully on display to this very day in the Church of St. Wolfgang in St. Wolfgang, Austria. Now, my lovelies, I do have a confession to make. Oh no, not that. Of the three amazing devils portrayed in the paintings I have chosen for you tonight, this last one is my favorite. And not because the satanic subject bears a spectacular resemblance to an uncle of mine, although this might additionally be confessed as well. It is my favorite because it positively oozes, not like that, it positively oozes one of the most desired, sought after, and coveted characteristics a being can possess. Charm. Yes, charm, the word itself from the Old English Dictionary, has roots in Middle English and French, meaning to chant or to cast a magic spell. And even more appropriate for this next painting, charm from the Latin, carmen, meaning song or magical incantation. And the proper name carmen now means crimson or red. From charm comes the word charisma, meaning the powerful personal quality that some people have to attract and impress other people. I find many of you, our guests, to be extremely charismatic. This enchanting painting, Mephisto by Edward von Grützner, I ask you sincerely to please view this painting. Grützner has given us the devil in the guise of a charming old gent. If, say, on some dark evening, while out at a fancy dress or costume party, Mephisto, the character of this painting, were to step forth from its frame and appeared before us in the street, or at our tableside at the Broom and Fang pub, I do not believe there is a person or being among us who could resist his beguiling grin, let alone turn him away before hearing what he has to say or offer. The talented artist, Grützner, born the year our first artist displayed their devil in 1846, brought forth Mephisto in 1895, well into his accomplished art career. There are so many great paintings in his portfolio, mostly of monks and cardinals, all shown glassy-eyed and tipsy from drinking some form of wine or sherry or some unknown swill from a jug. These were his most popular sellers, but being a fan of Shakespeare and Goethe, he also painted Falstaff and Mephistopheles. Politely standing out from a mostly blackened background, this slyly smiling, almost grandfatherly old gentleman, dressed in gallant but playful velvet red, with his wise and shiny blue eyes cast to one side, has to be one of the most bewitching characters set down on canvas. In nearly Renaissance-style clothing, but costume-like, the subtle styling of his garb gives you unspoken clues of his true identity and possibly his directive. He has neither horns nor tail, and yet you still unconsciously detect them. With one gloved fist parked firmly on his waist, he stands mid-bow before you, his cheeky face peering happily out from under his cleverly creased red cap that forms a pronounced widow's peak or the letter M on his aged forehead. The poofs and peaks of the folds of his cap barely mock a set of small horns. His mannerly bent posture causes his brilliant red surcoat or waist-length cape to fall forward, while his other hand grasps the pommel of his tilted sheathed sword. It's tipped upward behind him, with a bit of his cape draped over it, giving the slightest impression of a tail. And there appears to be, just down and to his left, the drifting sparks of a few fiery flames. The whites of his eyes reflect the glow of this fire. He is stunning. The longer you gaze at him, the further you fall under his spell. I'm a little sad that you cannot hear him speak. I mean, not that I've heard him speak, because that's not real, and he doesn't speak hardly ever. Excuse me.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
Mary? Is it? Yes?
Blah, 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 blah.
You got
blah, 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 blah,
you got some of the paint on you. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Can you still see me?
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, you can?
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that's good. Irma. Have Mary follow you to the infirmary, if she can. Oh, we have an infirmary. Well, that's what we call it. Mary, do you have any next of kin? I'm just kidding, of course. It doesn't make any difference. Poor Mary. Well, I'm so sorry we must end our artful reading tonight, my dear guests. But we really should tend to Mary and make arrangements for her. That reminds me, in a completely unrelated aside, are there any gravediggers here tonight, by chance? Our gardener could use a little help in the side garden. Just something really brief. Anyway, please follow Mr. Darling out to the veranda, my lovelies. And please be mindful of the paint. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Well, how's the painting of our Mr. Blister looking, darling?
Splendid, madam. Although I do suspect our undead artist had too much wine, because he's painted you, wantonly sprawled across the devil's lap.
Oh, no, no. I posed for that, to trick Mr. Blister's mother. She keeps pushing him to find a nice witch and settle down, you know.
Lying! Straight to the devil's mother! Do you know, madam, I can't tell if you're brave or insane.
How about insanely brave?
Yes, let's go with that.
The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. If you are enjoying your evenings in the reading room, we invite you to join your dark companions and help keep the Midnight Library open and the beasties fed. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Where you can contact me directly. Seek us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our bizarre merch can be found at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.